Morning. My name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here at Foley United Methodist Church. It's my joy to be able to bring a message to you in the room and to you watching online today. Like Miss Kate said, today is Palm Sunday. It's a joyous day. It's the beginning of Holy Week. This is the day where Jesus marched into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey or a colt. And people laid down palms in their coats, and they started shouting and praising him, right? We're going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. The words will be on the screen. I'm reading out of the Message version today, so if it doesn't sound like what you're used to, that's okay. We're just reading out of a different version today. So we're going to start Luke 19, and we're actually going to start in verse 28 through 40. It says, after saying these things, Jesus headed straight up to Jerusalem. When he got near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olives, he sent two of his disciples with instructions. Go to the village across from you. As soon as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered, one that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says anything, asks, what are you doing? Say, his master needs him. The two left and found it just as he said. As they were untying the colt, its owner said, what are you doing untying the colt? They said, his master needs him. They brought the colt to Jesus. Then throwing their coats on its back, they helped Jesus get on. As he rode, the people gave him a grand welcome, throwing their coats on the street. Right at the crest, where Mount Olives begins its descent, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. Blessed is he who comes, the King in God's name. All's well in heaven, glory in the high places. Some Pharisees from the crowd told him, teacher, get your disciples under control. But he said, if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. This is the word of God, and it can be trusted. It is true, and it is real. What's great about Palm Sunday is it begins Holy Week. It is a celebration for us in the church, too, right? What makes this even better for me is since I have to do so much with Mardi Gras in my other job as a police officer, and I have to be there at those parades. We can debate that. But I see these people standing at the Mardi Gras parades, from strollers to walkers, to baby strollers, to adult strollers, right? Screaming and shouting and having a great time. Music's playing, there's people dancing, they're screaming for beads and candy and moon pies. And so when we move through Lent, right after Mardi Gras, and we get to this Sunday and we read this scripture, it immediately draws back to my mind this picture of a parade. This picture of Jesus riding on a colt into Jerusalem, and there are tons of people. This particular scripture said his disciples, but we think of 12 people when we hear disciples, but Jesus had large groups of people that followed him. They knew him as a prophet. They knew him as a healer, as a man of God. They didn't quite know him as the Messiah yet, but they knew him as somebody anointed by God. And when he sent his disciples into the town across the way to get the colt, that was a fulfillment of Scripture. Fulfillment of the Old Testament, where the Messiah would come riding in on the back of a donkey or a colt. I don't know that the people in the crowd put that together, but they knew that Jesus was this important person. And when they saw him riding on the back of the donkey, it was just, It was an honor for them to throw down palm branches and their coats to let him walk across them. I love in Matthew 21, where it says a different account of this. The people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, "Hosanna to David's son! Blessed is he who comes in God's name! Hosanna in the highest!" I just can picture this like I picture those young people and old people standing on the side of the road screaming and shouting for beads. I don't know how to get a feel for that other than for us to do that. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to picture yourself standing in a Mardi Gras crowd or standing on the side of the street in Jerusalem with Jesus coming down, and everybody is shouting and screaming, praising this great man, and they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Okay, repeat after me. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Now, like you're at the parade and you're saying, "Beads, beads," and you're trying to get their attention. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I mean, it is this spirit of joy and celebration. It is this amazing moment in these people's lives. They are seeing God's appointed one come riding into Jerusalem during Passover, the beginning of Passover. And that's exactly what they see, an appointed person. Somebody they think is a king appointed by God, but not somebody they know yet. Not somebody they recognize who he truly is yet. Their idea of a king and a leader is somebody that's prominent, somebody that's going to take over and do good things. But we know differently because we know what happens at the end of the week. I don't think we can fully understand the end of the week unless we take a moment to recognize the beginning of the week, to recognize all that happens in this scene where Jesus is riding in. In the celebration of the people, there's also the church people, right? There's also the Pharisees at that moment, recognizing that wait a second, this is the guy that's challenging our authority. This is the guy that is telling people that the law is being fulfilled in and through him, so they're losing their power because they live their entire life controlling the masses through the law. And they can't handle the fact that these people are celebrating Jesus as God's chosen, appointed son, appointed king. So they holler out to Jesus, "Jesus, get your people under control. This is ridiculous. You know you're not the king." And how does Jesus respond to that? My favorite line in the whole scripture is Jesus looks at the church people, the Pharisees. Let's not get that confused. We like to think of ourselves as different from the Pharisees, but there's a lot of times we're not. Because there's a lot of times we put the church in front of God. And we try to make sure the church is taken care of and we follow the church's rules. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to follow the rules as they had grown up knowing. And when Jesus challenged that and people were beginning to celebrate and recognize Jesus, it infuriated them. They tell Jesus to get his people under control. And Jesus looks at them and says, "Even if they did, even if I told them to be silent, the rocks on the ground would cry out with praise." It's amazing to me because sometimes I've been told that I am as dumb as a rock, right? And that doesn't necessarily come across as a compliment when you hear that, right? But again, when I read this scripture and when I look at times in my life, I wish I could be like a rock. Because if the rocks on the earth, the trees, the sky, very creation itself recognizes Jesus for who he is, and if all the people were silent, creation itself would cry out to Jesus' goodness and praise him for who he is. I want to be like that. Because there are times where the church tries to silence itself because we don't want to be seen as too radical or too crazy or too different from the world around us. There's a lot of times that the world tries to silence us because it doesn't want to be challenged in its authority and its status quo. And I even think there are times that our pride, that our self-esteem, that our own thoughts about ourselves try to silence us in recognizing and praising Jesus. I think there are times all throughout our life where where things try to silence us. And we have to be focused and we have to recognize Jesus for who he is. Not some great man that's riding in on a donkey. Not some great man that God appointed to be king, but he's a Messiah that purposefully chose to die for us, to save the world, to save creation itself. Jesus knew what he was doing when he entered Jerusalem. He had told his disciples what was coming, his 12 disciples. He had told them what was coming, and they still hadn't grasped that yet. They still hadn't understood that yet. They were still telling Jesus, no, we're not going to let that happen. We'll never abandon you. We won't let them kill you. But Jesus knew fully what he was riding into. He knew that these people hadn't seen him for who he is yet, but he knew that creation itself understood. I think there is a piece of all of us that's been touched by Jesus and understands fully who he is. We understand the grace and the mercy that he pours out on us. I think that there's that prevenient grace that's always with us, always calling us, always whispering into our ear saying, draw nearer to me. I think sometimes we let the world, we let the church, we let our own thoughts and minds try to drown out that voice of God whispering to us. And I think the message in this verse that says even the rocks will cry out is that we have to look deep to that spark, to that voice that whispers to us that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's everything we need. We need to praise him. We can't help but to praise him in spite of the noise around us. I think that's the hard part of life, is staying focused and staying in the moment, in the parade, staying excited all the time about being in the presence of Jesus. I think life tries to pull us away and drown us and distract us and be like the Pharisees and tries to keep us under control. But God invites us to live a life of celebrating and praising the fact that we are in the presence of God every breath we take. Every moment we're awake. We know at the end of the week, our Savior is alive. He goes through hell, but he rises again to be with us and live with us. And he invites us to be in his presence nonstop. So as we look at this scripture on Palm Sunday and we begin this journey of Holy Week and we walk with Jesus every step and we experience his death anew on Friday, let's not forget that even in the midst of a hard time, even in the midst of what we don't want to deal with, we get to celebrate the fact that we have a risen Savior that is always with us. When our voices inside of us tell us we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we're whatever, we've all had those thoughts. When our shame voice keeps nagging at us saying, nobody will love you, nobody will like you, nobody will accept you, whatever it is your shame voice says, and it's trying to drown out that invitation to celebrate, that's when we need to be like the rocks and recognize Jesus for who he is. When your friends and with the people you hang out with scare you and intimidate you and pressure you not to be one of those crazy people that always talk about Jesus or always smile and always be happy because you know who you serve, that's when we need to focus on that voice. That's when we need to be like those rocks. When the world tries to tell us that we're wrong, that there's really is no Jesus, that there really is no God, that this whole story is just about a good man, that's when we need to be as dumb as those rocks sometime, right? And say, you don't get it. It's just a part of who I am. I can't help it. I was created to celebrate and praise God. I was created to be a part of the life he gave me, the life he lives with me. That's what I think is important in this passage. We're invited to be a part of a life of celebration, not drowned out by the stuff around us that's threatened by who Jesus is. As we go through this week, some of you are going back to school. Some of you are celebrating the fact that they're going back to school. Some of you are going to get up and go to work tomorrow morning and deal with the headaches and frustrations and figuring out what's next. Some of you are just going to wake up and not feel good. You're going to have pains and hurts and things going on that are going to try to distract you. All of that is life. All of that is normal. But we're invited to live in the celebration of Jesus, no matter what's going on around us. So that's my challenge to you. When you get up tomorrow morning and go do and deal with whatever you're going to do and deal with, live in the celebration this week. Repeat to yourself, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Remind yourself that we serve a living God who is right there with us, and he invites us to be and walk and live in his presence. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we get to celebrate a life with you, that we get to wake up each day and no matter what is going on around us, no matter what our head is telling us, no matter what the world is telling us, we get to celebrate that you are alive and walking and being with us. Lord, help us not to be distracted by the noise. Lord, help us to be as dumb as those rocks. that recognize you are the creator who created each of us. And we can't help but to praise you for the life you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is one I think everybody's pretty familiar with, so I want to hear you sing it.